He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Jason, coming up, we'll talk about whether the Bears can bounce back yet again from yet another heartbreak, this time Sunday against the Vikings at Soldier Field. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, the Bears, last we saw them, were getting a field goal blocked at the buzzer against the Packers. Now they face another divisional rival at Soldier Field. The Vikings, is there any chance that this bounce back actually goes well? The ones after the Commanders game did not. The one after the Cardinals game did not. Although the Bears, I think we'd agree, all played a little bit better against the Packers than they had against, you know, the Patriots the week before.
Certainly played better offensively under Thomas Brown than they had under Shane Waldron. It's been a long time, Pet. It's been a it's been a month and a continent away since they won a game. Normally, you'd see an 8-2 team coming in and be like, "Oh, this isn't the week for that." And you need to understand that that's the whole rest of their season.
Yep.
And Potsy made the point. Mark Potash made the point in his column the other day. I think to get to 500. The Bears will have to win at least two road games out of Minnesota, Green Bay, San Francisco, and Detroit. I mean, at least two out of those. I mean, it's things have really sunk at the wrong time because this is not the time to try to pick up wins. This would have been the time to probably just hang on. See, I mean, when we talk about the last eight games of their schedule, we've been talking about this all along. It's the six division games and the 49ers and Seattle. I think a good team would hope to go 5-3 or something in that. I mean, that is a brutal gauntlet
you would expect
to finish the season.
The Packers would probably be thrilled to go 5-3 with that schedule.
And to the Bears, like in the Bears' favor, honestly, it's the schedule that they should have wanted if they'd have gotten to pick their schedule, was to have all of that runway to get everything going. And instead, you're imploding at the end of that, having to fire your offensive coordinator. Not sure exactly what's going on with Caleb. He's turned that around. Anyway, to get back to what you're talking about, the Vikings coming in at 8-2 it's hard to say any team that's 8-2 is shaky, but it is kind of a shaky 8-2. They started out 5-0. They're 3-2 in their last five. Some of those wins, those three out of the last five, a touchdown win against the Colts, a 12-7 win against the Jaguars, those are not thoroughly impressive. And also, at the heart of their hot start was Sam Darnold, this journeyman quarterback, playing like an MVP candidate. And that has tailed off a little bit. One of my favorite things in the locker room Thursday was the first question to Jalen Johnson, the Bears cornerback, was, Jalen, why do you think Sam Darnold's been so consistent this season? And Jalen goes, I don't feel like he's been consistent at all. And it's true. He's been throwing a lot of interceptions. And, you know, you saw Jordan Love be a little bit of a liability in that. And man, if you have any liability in the turnover department, that is something the Bears are very, very good at. Their defense, no matter who's been in there, they have been really, really good at takeaways this year. So for those reasons, there is some hope, especially with them playing a little bit better offensively. But all that hope, Pat, is based on you assume that that was a starting point for the offense and for Caleb Williams. That scoring 19 points, there's no parades for scoring 19 points against the Packers, or even 22 if that's what they'd gotten and won the game on that field goal. I mean, there's still a ways to go there. If that is the start of something, of a trajectory that's on its way up, then I like the Bears' chances to at least compete in this game.
Part of what was so disturbing about the losses to the Commanders and then to the Cardinals and then to the Patriots was that it was clear that Caleb was off course. And even if he was just a little off course, you worry about where he ends up at the end of the year, at the end of next year. You need him to stay on the straight and narrow to get to where you need him to get. Thomas Brown seems to, of course, corrected a little bit. In the sense of setting him up to do the things he's good at. He's a really good short route thrower, does a good job of getting rid of the ball when he decides he wants to get rid of the ball. And that's what they did the other day. They got the ball in the hands of their best players. And the offense looked functional. Not great, but functional. The plays made sense. The way they split the run in the pass made sense. You could see what they were trying to do. And with Shane Waldron in the previous 3 weeks, you really couldn't. So that's encouraging. Now, I think we all need to be careful about not mistaking encouraging and a professional effort by the offense from, like you said, a reason to throw a parade.
And then you get to everything that Minnesota actually has. Minnesota is one of the kind of sneaky, solid, and consistent teams over the last 30 years, probably. This was supposed to be a rebuild under the new administration coming in at the same time that the Bears were rebuilding, and it hasn't really been that. Minnesota has been solid, I think, with playing with all the way down to, what, their fourth or fifth quarterback or something last year when Kirk Cousins got hurt, still managed to finish ahead of the Bears technically in the division at 7-10 with the tiebreaker. They've got weapons offensively that have facilitated Sam Darnold finding some success. They've got not just Justin Jefferson, but Jordan Addison is a really tough cover. And Aaron Jones, the old Packers running back, gives them something. And they're a very strong team all around. And they've got a coach that a lot of teams would be very happy to have in Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, the pride of San Diego State University. Played quarterback for them. Anyway, I can see how impressed you are by that.
It was very relevant. I'm glad you brought it up.
We talk about, every week we do, you and I both write something, or we rotate, about what rookie quarterback is doing the best, whether it's Jaden Daniels. There have been weeks when it's been Caleb. Shoot, there were weeks when it was Drake May or even Bo Nix.
It's very much Bo Nix right now.
And you know whose name is not on that list? It's J.J. McCarthy, and that's because the number 10 overall pick hurt his knee and had knee surgery in training camp and just had a second knee surgery, which is never good. When the Bears talk about, well, nobody's going to feel sorry for us because of X, Y, or Z. Boy, nobody's going to, nobody was supposed to feel sorry for the Vikings. And I think we all would have bet probably on August 15th this year that the Vikings would finish fourth in the division.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe be really, really bad. And they're not. They are the third best team in the NFC right now. I think that is a testament to coaching. I think that's a testament to a defense that is just really wacky in the best sense. And it's a testament to, having the greatest wide receiver on the planet, probably, to throw the ball to. I'm sure Justin Jefferson has made Sam Darnold a lot of money this year for when Darnold hits free agency this offseason. But tell me real quick about Brian Flores.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up because he is as much of a problem for the Bears as anything else. By the way, a guy the Bears interviewed very early on in the head coach hiring cycle back in January of 22.
Was that before or after he sued the league?
I think it was before. I think it was right before.
Yeah.
I think the Bears interviewed him, and maybe later that week he sued the league for, I guess it would be discrimination, wouldn't it be? Because he alleged that some of these teams did not treat his interviews for their openings as a very serious or legitimate and were wasting his time. Brian Flores is borderline genius as a defensive coordinator. Everybody wants to figure him out and cannot. He comes from the Bill Belichick coaching tree, and it shows.
Right.
A lot of times they come from the Bill Belichick tree and they're Matt Patricia.
Right.
In this case, this feels a lot like Bill Belichick, where you cannot figure out what he's going to do. He pulls things out in week 12 that you haven't seen on film. And while Caleb Williams has been very good handling the blitz and calling things out at the line of scrimmage, making adjustments pre-snap, this is a totally different situation. Brian Flores was a head coach and had a winning record as a head coach during a kind of a rough time talent-wise in Miami. He'd be a head coach if he was easier to work with. In general, Brian Flores is one of those guys kind of like Tom Thibodeau or Jim Harbaugh, where it's like they totally know what they're doing. Right. Not everyone wants to work with the personality.
To quote Seinfeld, he's a delicate genius. Is that what you're
trying to say? He's so good, and he has been, not only do we know that by his reputation and by his resume, by his success as a defensive play caller, but the Bears know it firsthand.
Can I tell the story about the first game they played last year?
But start with during the week where all they're telling us is, yeah, we got to really watch out for all the ways Brian Flores is gonna blitz us.
The whole time, I think we spent maybe the entire press conference with Luke Getsy talking about how you're going
to
deal with this.
You didn't even have to ask. They would have brought it up.
We talked to Justin Fields about it. And, Justin, at the time, as you remember, plenty of questions about his ability to orchestrate a pass game. And they come out the first play of the game at Soldier Field. They come out and they have five receivers or four receivers and a tight end, whatever it is, empty backfield. Kari Blassingame, the fullback, is lined up, split right, and runs a nine route. So he's just running all the way down the field. So the Bears have five linemen blocking a blitz.
Totally pointless, by the way.
Yes.
The Blassingame route.
And Justin Fields takes the snap, waits 30 seconds, and gets put on his behind and for a sack. And even Justin afterwards goes, yo, man, like, you can't put a fullback running it. Like, we're not going to throw the ball to the fullback running the deep route. You got to put somebody else there if you actually want to threaten that. So it's one thing to talk about, hey, we got to be ready. It's another to actually put a game plan in that makes sense. And that's what's so compelling to me about Thomas Brown this week is what he did against the Packers was better. DJ Moore had a quote. I'll look it up. It was something like, I have it right here. I would say the game was called more the way we hoped it would be in the past. That's a great line. But now he's got to adjust for kind of, you know, if the Bears didn't play the Vikings twice a year, it'd be a one-off. But it's like getting ready to face an option offense in college football or a full-court press in basketball. It's just different. And you better give your young quarterback answers.
Well, and here's the stakes when you start 4-5 in the easy part of your schedule. They play the Vikings again in a month. You would like to be able to say, okay, you know, this might be rough. Caleb's first time dealing with Flores and the Vikings defense. But, you know, maybe he can survive this. Maybe he learns from it. It's helpful when they play them again in a month. You can't afford to take any losses at this point.
I mean,
you have to basically run the table at this point against this brutal schedule. And it's very, 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 very unlikely.
And when you and I were justifiably freaking out about, you know, the loss to the Commanders, the loss to the Cardinals, the loss to the Patriots, the loss to the Colts, the reason wasn't because we enjoy getting worked up about a game in September. It's because we all saw this coming, that the Bears needed to,
they needed margin.
I'm debating whether to say this, which is usually a sign I shouldn't.
Okay, then don't.
But they needed to.
Those games are must-win games. When you're playing the Colts
right. And
the Panthers, and they did beat the Panthers, but those are must-win games for you when you know what lies ahead, and that even a good team would be fortunate to go 500 or 5-3 in this 8-game stretch.
Is your neighborhood on a scale of 1 to 10, how crawling with squirrels is it?
A lot of squirrels. Yeah, a lot of trees, a lot of squirrels.
Do you ever have the black squirrel or the white squirrel? You ever seen those?
We have seen albino squirrels.
Yeah, I know. Those are crazy.
Yeah, they're in one particular part of our neighborhood.
But you know how like a month ago they were like gathering their nuts and like getting ready for the winter? The Bears needed to do that by winning some of these games to get them through the harsh winter schedule. Is this working for you?
It's fine, Pat.
Metaphor?
It's fine.
Okay. Simile, metaphor?
We've heard a lot of things this week, and even last week before they had actually played a game with Thomas Brown as the OC. We've heard all these things about improvements that Thomas Brown has made. And everything from the game plan being more tailored to their abilities, the more energy at practice, Caleb Williams talking about the play calls getting in faster. We saw no-nonsense calls during the game. You know, nothing where you're just like, why would they possibly do that?
They're not handing off to a guard who didn't touch the ball even when he was in high school?
Yeah, no? Or a speed option on 4th-and-1 at the goal line for a loss of 12. Nothing like that. All of that is good. All of that is a step forward. It is also totally damning of Shane Waldron's job performance and of Matt Eberflus's both hiring of Shane Waldron and management of Shane Waldron as his boss.
Well, I wrote about this earlier in the week. You know, Caleb after the game says, yeah, Thomas called the plays in faster. And you go like, oh, that couldn't have been fixed earlier?
The head coach, the boss couldn't have stepped in and said, yeah. hey, I see a problem here.
Right.
And this has been a concern with Matt Eberflus from the day they introduced him.
Absolutely.
Can he, as a three-decade defensive coach only, can he now step into the role of managing the entire thing, right, including the offense? And it's problematic that, one, Matt Eberflus didn't see trouble coming and chose Shane Waldron over some guys that, I mean, one of the guys they chose him over, Thomas Brown, already seems to know how to improve off of what Shane Waldron did. Another guy, Cliff Kingsbury, would win him and Flores would win coordinator of the year, if that's an award. then secondly, the inability to get Shane Waldron on track. And thirdly, Pat, he just seems surprised by all this.
Right.
He's every time he talked, like even the thing that came up Sunday with the play calls getting in faster, Matt seemed like kind of like he hadn't even thought of that. Oh, right. Yeah.
And then I asked him Monday, like, hey, did you know that was a problem? He goes, well, I like that we're getting there faster. Okay. Like,
so that's his answer to everything. Well, when you ask him, why couldn't you steer Shane Waldron towards something that made more sense? Right. Everything's like, well, this is where we are.
Right.
And it does. That's not an explanation. That doesn't. It's really.
It's not an answer.
It's very important for him.
Yeah.
And his career and his time with the Bears that he has left. And for the Bears as an organization, it's really important to understand what got you here. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, forget the past. Right. The past will inform what you do in the future. And I bring all that around to ask you about Matt Eberflus' standing here. He's 4-6. The Bears were built to win now. They brought in a rookie quarterback who's, you know, it's been choppy. Mm-hmm. And maybe Caleb Williams has not been as good early and as ready mm-hmm. right away as everybody, including the Bears, thought. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what is at stake here for Matt Eberflus over these seven games? Is it over? Or is there something that he can do that would tell you, okay, maybe he sticks around for 2025?
I mean, it's probably over. I think the only way out is that they just get red hot and the offense looks good. And then you have to ask, if they start scoring 30 points a game against some of the best teams in the league, and they get to the end of the season, maybe at some point you sit there and go like, hey, you know who would be good as the head coach here? Thomas Brown. Like, yeah. If that's the reason behind it. No, this is making 1,000 presumptions that we have no right to make because, shoot, let's see the Bears score 20 points instead of 19.
Right.
But I think the only way out is for them to win a bunch of games that nobody thinks they're going to win and for offense to show such a undeniable improvement week after week after week after week that only a fool would want to change things. And I think if that happens, and if it's directly attributable to Thomas Brown, then you have to start asking questions about, well, why not just give it to Thomas Brown then?
Who has been a head coaching candidate before.
Yeah, three other places. He's had interviews. He's also young and is not an experienced play caller, you know, at all. I mean, it's this year and last year at the NFL level. He was with the Miami Hurricanes before that. So, you know, it's getting late real early here for Eberflus, and, you know, we probably could have said that 3 weeks ago. But, yeah, I mean, the only way out of this is for them to make a 180. I think showing the kind of improvement they did in the second half of last year ain't going to get it done now. I think if you sit there and go, like, well, we split our last eight games, I think it needs to be a remarkable turnaround.
They did that against a lot of really just kind of mediocre teams Absolutely. Last year, like the yeah. Falcons and the Cardinals. I think if Matt Eberflus was able to get them to the playoffs, mm-hmm. which sounds like just a total fantasy at this stage, mm-hmm. you put that playoff stamp on a season, it's hard to fire the coach then.
Yeah, and if you have a rookie quarterback that's getting better. And I don't think one thing is going to happen without the other. I think if Caleb twists his ankle stepping off the bus and if Tyson Bagent's your quarterback the rest of the season, and if you make the playoffs – I still think they're – I don't know that you could justify doing the same thing all over again because it didn't come with the growth of Caleb Williams.
If I'm the Bears, I don't think it would even matter. I think I've seen enough.
Right.
And I wouldn't want to be tricked by some kind of late surge here that almost certainly would be because of Caleb Williams and because of Thomas Brown and in spite of – Matt Eberflus. We've got a 2.5-year book here
right.
on him. And the Bears have so much greater ambition under Ryan Poles and with Caleb Williams here than just making the playoffs.
Right.
Just being a team that can stumble its way to something around 500, 7-10, 10-7, depending on the year, depending on how injuries go, whatever. I can't imagine you've seen something from Matt Eberflus. I know I haven't in 2.5 years that tells you he's the guy to get you there, and he's the guy to get Caleb there. Right. So decision's already made for me.
And it, as you know, as I like to say every time we talk about a playoff team, making the playoffs now ain't some giant achievement. Like
the Bears made it in 2020.
Like seven of 16 NFC teams are going to go to the playoffs. Congratulations, you're in the top 42% of
the Bears got conference. The Bears got clobbered by Green Bay right. in the last game of the season to finish 8-8 in 2020 and made the playoffs.
Jason, this brings us to our picks this week. One of the six Sun-Times predictors, soothsayers, some may say, have the Bears. The rest of us have the Vikes. Jason, you're at 23-20. I'm at 21-20. Potsy's at 21-19. Scoop Jackson's at 21-16. And Morrissey is at 24-17, all in favor of the Vikings. Obviously, we're all guessing it's going to be pretty similar.
So Tellender went Bears?
Tellender went Bears, 18-17. And I wrote
18-17. That'd be such a dumb game, but it probably that's a good prediction, though.
And I wrote this, Jason. If they play the way they played against the Packers, I think they win the game. But why would you trust that that would happen?
That's a leap for me. Yeah. If they play the way they did against the Packers, they have a chance to win the game. Part of the problem, Pat, for me is if the offense is getting better, that's great. But there's just been these underlying concerns about their defense. Yeah. And especially against the run. And that is a huge vulnerability when you take Andrew Billings out of there. And you take Jaquan Brisker out of the back end, who's been a very dangerous player for them as in the run game, and overall he's been a playmaker, but he's really good for them in the run game. You also take into account the pass rush isn't really seeming to do anything.
Right.
There's definitely a path for the Vikings to get 25 to 30 points.
Boy,
and that would be just a lot to ask the Bears to keep up with at this stage.
Bears defense has allowed the last two games an average of 19.5 points. Boy, it does not feel like that one bit. To me, it feels like they've been much worse. And, you know, they get those two red zone stops against the Packers. And not to take anything away from the Bears for doing that, but, you know, the Packers might be two plays away from winning the game, 30-19? 31-19? Like, it was – this defense is not as good as the numbers have shown, I think, in the last couple of weeks.
And it also appears to be trending the wrong way. Jaquan Brisker's not coming back anytime soon, or possibly at all, depending on where the Bears stand at the end of his – he's gone at least four games, three more, because of being on IR. Andrew Billings isn't coming. There's no talent on the way up, unless you just assume Zach Pickens is going to start playing like a NFL starting level
And Eric Washington even said it Thursday, like, Trevon Dexter's got to, like, get after it a little bit. Like, at the start of the year, you saw the flashes from him, and you haven't lately. And, you know, playing a team like the Vikings that likes to get rid of the ball quick, Washington said, you know, if you're going to rush the passer, you got to do it right away. And, you know, that applies to Dexter. It applies to Montez Sweat, who has only 3.5 sacks this season, and said very colorfully, right, Jason, today that he was
frustrated. He's really effing frustrated between the sacks and the losing. Not what he wanted.
Not what he wanted. So
Bears as a whole have 25 sacks in 10 games, Patrick. And Travis Smith, the defensive line coach, was talking about, and I don't like this conversation to begin with, because he's talking about how Montez Sweat draws all this attention, so someone else should be getting sacks. Montez Sweat is not being paid at $24.5 million a year to give a nuanced contribution. No. It should be obvious what the highest paid player on the team and what one of the highest paid pass rushers in the league does. I don't remember Khalil Mack having trouble getting sacks when teams are throwing everything. Like, he still got his in the end.
Right.
But Travis Smith is saying someone else has to step up. Okay, who?
Right.
Who's the guy who do you have? I mean, you have DeMarcus Walker, who's been kind of a journeyman. It's been a long time since DeMarcus Walker had a really good season. You have Dominique Robinson, who's not playing.
I mean, Taylor's probably the answer, but Daryl Taylor's pedigree is such that the Seahawks, a team that was actively trying to win games, decided in training camp that they'd rather have a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have talent, really, there. They don't. And that's something that you want to address if you're them, but it's not something you've had the opportunity to address yet. Unless, again, the same conversation over again, if you want to go undo another solved problem, like quarterback, then you could have a pass rusher like Will Anderson, but they just don't have that right now.
They might have a really good draft pick, though, Jason. and I think you and I agree that with those, you know, three picks they have in the first two rounds, boy, they could go D-line, O-line, or O-line, D-line, D-line, they could fix.
That's a sweeping O-line pick for me. That's left tackle in the first round.
Right.
And a couple of interior offensive linemen in the second.
Right. And this roster in many ways could be a lot more balanced in terms of youth and veterans and in terms of, rounding out the worst spots after this upcoming draft. But Jason, we got plenty of time to get to that.
That might be a conversation we have fairly soon. That might be like two losses away from who stays, who goes, what needs to be fixed here.
We'll do it on the Christmas Eve edition of the show in a couple of weeks. Until then, everybody can follow Jason and myself and Mark Potash at the Sun-Times website. Check us out in newsprint if you live in town and on the app and on social media and all that sort of good stuff. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.